Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were living La Vida lockdown. And now we're free. For now. Yeah. I think. I don't know.
Until winter.
Until we all decide that we're going to get Rona again.
Winter, mate.
I almost had it.
Winter.
I had my second autumn. Scare now.
One. So we take aim at a topic each week with a bottle or three of wine. Well, they do. I don't. And we try to make some sense of it. All right, ladies, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Butterfly Effect, a Cab Malone, because it's cold again.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
What's up with that?
El Nino.
Yeah, but that should be just rainy and hot, but it's not. It's just cold. I don't know what's going on.
I have no idea.
No.
So I'm also drinking a red. I'm drinking the Mechanic Shiraz from the wine skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, ladies, Amy, what is our topic?
Well, tonight, our topic is the world's worst decisions. Ever looked back at a point in time and thought, ah, fuck, if only I had done it differently.
All the time.
We started this podcast. And he said, should we really do this? And we all went, yes. And then we're like, maybe we should have said no.
Well, mate, hindsight is 2020. With the benefit of time and experience, we have the ability to reconsider things and potentially conceive better outcomes than the one we encountered. However, it is likely that your/our decisions will not be considered the worst in history. Highly unlikely.
Freaky. No. Yeah.
Depends on how many people listen to us.
Depends how long you went to jail for, I feel. Yeah. Anyway, possible but highly unlikely. In tonight's topic, we look at some of the worst decisions made in history, well, in our view anyway, and we discuss what led the people involved to take their course. I'm kicking off us tonight, and I will be discussing some light-hearted poor decisions, aka people didn't die. No.
Oh, good.
Light-hearted, nice and fun. Okay, so I've got two. My first one was Blockbuster's decision not to purchase Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that was stupid. Dang.
My second one is the decision by ocean explorer Robert Ballard not to stake a claim in the wreckage of the Titanic.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Oh, dang. Stupid. Oh, dang. Yes, correct. Okay, so let's talk about Blockbuster's potential purchase of Netflix for a moment. Yeah, Yeah, it is. Okay, so back in September 2000, Blockbuster CEO John Antico, I think that's how you say it. Sorry, Mr. Antico, if I said it wrong. You were the ex-CEO of Blockbuster and you made this horrible decision. I don't fucking care. So, anyway, he had a meeting in Dallas, Texas with the co-founders.
All right.
With the co-founders of Netflix, Mark Randolph and Reed Hastings, as well as their CFO, Barry McCarthy. On that day, Blockbuster could have purchased Netflix for $50 million.
What?
John Antico didn't even bother considering the possibility and thought it was a joke.
Okay.
$50 million for Netflix in 2000. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we laugh at this too much, just remember it was 2000.
Yeah.
So Netflix in the early days was a mail-based video rental service or DVD rental service. right? So they transitioned to an internet streaming service in 2007.
Yep.
When the founders of Netflix offered to sell to Blockbuster, the execs at Blockbuster would have just thought, well, we can do that. We can do what they're doing. Why would we buy them for $50 million? It doesn't make any sense. However, this wasn't the case. Blockbuster made a series of errors and ended up filing for protection from bankruptcy in 2010. Yeah, there is actually one final Blockbuster store that remains open at the moment. Yeah, ooh. It's in Bend, Oregon.
Benders.
They're the Benders of Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, I mean, anything that Netflix was doing, Blockbuster could do better, right? Right?
Yeah.
No. Netflix was also on shaky financial ground when they made that offer to sell, so the air of desperation could probably be sensed at the meeting. Antica's decision is considered one of the worst in history because it shows what happens if you don't take even the craziest of ideas seriously. See, Sarah, let's start a podcast. Okay. Ah, I hate this. It's crap. Just look, it's crazy, but it's fine. You never know. You never know what could happen. You don't know. Yeah.
It's so, I mean, one of our... What? You never know. Like, one of our amazing listeners could be some sort of millionaire and just drop some money into our Buy Me a Coffee.
Or could be some, I don't know, royalty slash billionaire type person who just thinks we're hilarious and invites us to live in their mansion with them and just be funny all the time for fun.
Yeah, I think you two should stop drinking.
Look. In 2000, John Antico decided that streaming services were never going to be a thing. So, just putting it out there, dropping it on the table. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Blockbuster was a global company with millions of employees, and it could have still been around today had the Blockbuster executives just opened their minds to new possibilities. If they had bought that and then Netflix had stayed as it is and had the same staff, they would eventually migrated into a streaming service. They could have still been here. We would have Netflix. We'd have Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Mm. Possible. Okay, so the second one I wanted to
And then Jack Peralta wouldn't have been sad when he got all those shares from his weird uncle.
Yeah. Correct. Exactly. All right, so the second one I wanted to chat about is simplified for the benefit of my co-host and will be super short. So in 1985, American Robert Pallard
teamed John.
Up. I don't know where that's from. That was my last segment. I don't know where I'm talking about. Need more wine.
Have some more wine.
That's better. Okay, right. So, Robert Ballard teamed up with French Ocean Exploration Team to find the wreckage of the Titanic. Now, both these groups were looking for the wreckage for quite some time and have been unsuccessful. They had quite a few voyages using various different types of technology that was invented basically for this purpose, was to try and find wreckage deep, deep, deep in the sea.
Okay.
So, on the 1st of September, using cameras attached to an underwater vessel, Ballard and crew spotted debris, which was identified as part of a boiler, which was identical to pictures of the Titanic's boilers. The next day, the main part of the wreckage was discovered. Now, this is where Ballard fucked up. In order to stake his claim on the wreckage under international law, he would need to retrieve a piece of the wreckage. However, he and his crew decided not to do that. Now, the reason for this is because they felt like they were grave robbing. They thought that the wreckage should be preserved. As Ballard put it, the development of deep sea submersibles has made the Great Pyramids of the Deep accessible to man. He can either plunder them like grave robbers of Egypt or protect them for the countless generations which will follow ours. So he didn't make the claim. 2 weeks later, a British insurance company made a claim on the wreckage and many more ensued.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Everybody made a claim. Now, so ultimately, it was accepted that Ballard and his crew did actually discover the wreckage, but they didn't make a claim on the wreckage, which was in international waters, so there was no way to prove the claim.
Yeah.
So it made it quite murky legally for everybody, and I've read murky. Quite a lot of articles. Yeah, murky. Deep sea. You could say when I went and had a look at the legal stuff around all of this, I went on a bit of a deep dive.
Fucking out. Please stop making terrible jokes and continue.
Yeah. So, therefore, no one owns the Titanic wreckage, and ocean explorers are free to visit the site as they wish. The UK and the USA have created laws around the preservation of the wreckage. However, they only apply to the citizens of those countries. Everyone else can do whatever the fuck they like.
What?
Yep. I found there was a few, not so much these days, but pre-pandemic, there was quite a few, sightseeing tours that you could do for the Titanic. You're talking about $30,000 to $40,000 per ticket.
Yeah, but still, Wow.
I feel like unless I'm down there diving, like, and I can touch shit with my hands, I don't know what the difference would be just watching it on like a screen somewhere.
No, wouldn't you be in a submersible?
That's what I mean. So if I was in a submersible, all I would see is just basically what's in front of the glass in front of me. To me, that's like a screen, though. I can just watch a doco on it, and I can see the same thing. Unless I was actually having the experience of being down there and touching things, which you can't do for science reasons.
Yeah, way too deep.
It's seriously. Way too deep. And I'd die.
Collapse your lungs. Yeah.
I'd be dead. So unless I'm doing that, like, what's the difference? So, yeah, and because of all of this and because people can just go down there willy-nilly if they've got the means, basically you can find loads of stuff that is on the internet that potentially could have come from the Titanic because people just go down there and rape and pillage the whole thing. Yeah. So the moral of the story is if you want to protect something, you got to own it. If Ballard had staked his claim, then he would have protected the wreckage from those he wished not to emulate by making his claim in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to stake your claim, protect the wreckage, which is what it's one of the things I said in our 1 year anniversary. Like, go around, you know, just make sure that you claim your podcast on all the sites. Yeah. Stake your claim your wreckage.
Yeah, correct. Claim your wreckage, people. That's what we do with this podcast. Basically, to put it quite bluntly, you got to out cunt the cunts. So sometimes in order to make sure that you're protecting something from other people, you kind of have to be one of them. Mm. So, yeah, there's no way around it. Shout out to Wikipedia, demilked.com and inc.com as a source of my ramblings. On that note, here is Bianca, who is going to tell you all about our Buy Me a Coffee page.
Hey guys, Bianca here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on all our socials. So Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. And also on our blog, www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Bianca. Wow. That was so well done.
Yes. Congratulations, yeah. Bianca. You did that very well.
I did. I did. Not that I practiced or anything, but
Oh. Achilles really liked it.
Oh. Yes, he did.
I feel blessed. Blessed be the dogs.
All right, who's up next? Sarah.
All right, so I am. So this week I'm doing two short ones. The first is going to be John H. Sununu.
I love that name.
I actually looked up how to say his name, and that's how you say it. Sununu. So Sununu, I'm just going to call him that because I like saying his name.
Yeah.
Was born July 2nd, 1939, and is an American politician who was the 75th governor of New Hampshire, 83 to 89, and later was the White House chief of staff under President George H.W. Bush.
So that's the first President Bush.
Yeah, old man Bush. Actually, they're both old man Bush. So old man Bush. So
second that one.
So he's also the father of John E. Sununu, a former U.S. state senator of New Hampshire, and Christopher Sununu, who is the current governor of New Hampshire.
Oh, wow. They're real keeping it in the family.
Yeah, they are. Also, I'm just going to mention I got mine also from Demilked. Very helpful people.
Right? Very helpful. Such good articles. So helpful.
Anyway, so Sununu earned his Bachelor of Science degree in 1961, a Master's of Science degree in 63, and a PhD in 66 from Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
MIT.
So, yeah, MIT or mechanical engineering.
Okay.
So he even served on the MIT's Advisory Board of Technology, and he remains a member of the National Academy of Engineering. So as Bush's advisor, he was the first with a STEM background to doubt climate change.
Really?
He publicly questioned the validity of James Hansen, his work, which is really NASA's modeling effort. At that point, the U.S. was actually on the verge of signing a binding climate treaty with 65 other nations in 89.
What?
Yeah. Yep. So even smart people can be dumb.
Yeah. So prior to that point, the argument was, how do we balance emission reductions versus economic losses?
Oh.
Want people to lose the fucking money.
With conservative forces recognizing the danger, but insisting we protect businesses from overreaching regulations. After Sununu's public doubts, the entire debate shifted to, is climate change even real?
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. So it inspired the Everything is Fine PR campaign. And that apparently has been going on ever since.
Not according to Al Gore, but anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously, who would have suspected just one little bit of doubt could fucking change everything?
It's because people didn't want to believe it, and it would be hard, and there would be changes that would be made. And like you said, they would lose money. But little did those asshats understand that the early 90s were coming their way, and there was going to be all sorts of global economic turmoil.
Well, as I read, it will be about another 50 years until we see the true extent of the damage he did. So, yeah, ironically, all this falls on not some moron, but on a brilliant guy who decided to speak on a subject that was outside of his expertise.
Yeah. So instead of going, instead of saying like, hey, can someone explain this to me?
Yeah.
He just went, nah, it's not real.
Yeah. Is this shit even real? I don't believe you. I know nothing about this, but I don't believe you.
That's what you say to me all the time.
But even yes, when we don't believe something like this, we go, yes, sounds like science magic. Okay.
Yes.
Like.
And we've said it so many times, we're not scientists. We're not medical professionals. We don't know anything. Don't follow our advice. Follow the people that know the things. Don't
yes.
The people that study this shit.
Yeah. We're here not for entertainment.
Some guy that does engineering because he knows shit.
Did he build the sun? No. So he can't comment on climate change. Fuck off.
Exactly. Okay. So my second one is starting a podcast. Really? Why did I say yes?
Because it's fun. And you've learned so many things.
Oh,
I have forgotten everything that I have learned because I don't pay attention.
No, you have not. Because it's really funny. Something will come up in conversation. You'll be like, oh, I know this. And then you think, wow, which episode was that on? And you go back and go, that was a really long time ago and it's still in my brain.
Did I talk about this?
No, yes. Somebody else talk about this. I know this. I don't say I know this. You guys say I know this. Two different things.
I say, you should know this. We talked about it. And you're like, did we?
Did we?
I don't remember having the conversation at all.
Don't be delusional, Bianca. No. So my second one, we have to go back in history and have a look at the Black Death.
Oh, okay. So
for many years, actually, it really is still one of the worst plagues we have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus hasn't finished yet, mate. Tap on some water.
Yeah, coronavirus isn't a plague.
Either way.
It's close, but it's not a plague.
No.
I actually had a look at that. It's not a plague.
Can we say that the stupidity that's come out of COVID is a plague, though? Because I feel like that is running rampant right now.
I want to say yes. So we all think terrible. Black plague, horrible. Many people died.
Yeah.
But the Scottish, not so much. Not at that time, anyway.
This is fine.
Yeah, they went, this is good. Yes, English, dying. God is attacking them. They're all panicky, yes. So let's invade. Yes, perfect time. They're worried about the plague. Not worried about us. We're invading. You guys good? Good, good. Yes, a few thousand of us. Awesome, let's go. So...
charged up on fuckloads of whiskey that is like, you want to invade England? Yeah, mate. Let's do it.
That must have been it. Just that one guy that went, this is a really good time to invade. They're not paying attention. And then one idiot went, you're right. And then it just kind of steamrolled from there. And you're like, oh, for fuck. Guarantee all those women are like, oh, for fuck, my husband is a moron.
Here they go again.
Yep.
I mean, why couldn't they just start a podcast like everybody else? No.
That's right.
They have to invade England.
They have to go invade England. They're all scared and sick and dying of the plague. Sure.
Sarah, one of the benefits of this podcast is we didn't decide to invade England. So, you know, winning.
We couldn't leave our country.
We could try. And that's how we would have died.
Invade the next town over?
Maybe. Unlikely.
I don't want to invade our next town over. There's not much there. Pizza. But they delivered, so.
That's a good point.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so after Scotland invaded, they soon realised they had made a terrible, terrible mistake. They lost thousands of men to the plague. Probably also to some battles, but I'm putting it all down onto the plague. They lost probably about 5,000 people to plague.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So then they thought it was really, really best for them to retreat. Let's go back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's take the plague with us. This dude seems like he's fun. Let's take him with us.
And they, with their retreating army, they brought back the gift of the plague.
Yep.
I went to Scotland and all I brought you was this shitty plague.
Was this boil and this weird, weird smell.
Yes. So, the plague, a game the whole family can play, but not for long. So, the plague actually, it was played out by winter of 13, 49.
Oh, in Scotland.
But in Scotland. So by the winter, they'd returned in the autumn, and then from the autumn to the winter, plague played itself out.
Okay.
But then it made a revival. They made a revival in the spring.
Ooh.
Yay!
Oh, I love a good revival.
Yeah.
Did it grow a beard?
It did grow a beard.
Yeah?
Or did it nick the fridge?
Nah, it grew a beard. With a vengeance. It was a masculine beard, worthy of the Vikings.
Must have been red and curly, though, right? Because Scottish.
Yeah. But yeah. So that's my second one. Scotland invading England during the Black Death. Lesson here, never invade or listen to a guy who's thinking it's a good idea to invade a country that's going through a plague.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Terrible idea. Don't start a podcast. Terrible idea.
But if you start a podcast, you probably won't invade the next town over. So start a podcast. Yeah.
No, because then you're stuck doing it.
But you're not in jail for trying to fucking raid another city. So, yeah.
So, Bianca.
I love this. What's that, Sarah? You actually do love it? Oh.
I love my work. I love my work.
You know, with a blunt fork? Bianca, what have you got for us?
I have The Great Leap Forward. I got this from historycollection.com. Their article, 10 of the histories, 10 of history's worst decisions. I can't talk. I loved this article so much that I'm going to read it verbatim because I read a lot. Like, I went to the same websites you guys did, and I actually loved their explanation of the Great Leap Forward, and it's just everything's in there. And yeah, I love the way it flowed. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I will link this on the blog. So if you're a nerd like me, head on over and check out their site. All right, let's start. In the late 1950s, China was in sore need of rapid and massive industrialization. Other countries had industrialized gradually by accumulating capital and buying heavy machinery. China had neither at the time nor the money. Its population was rapidly outstripping the available resources, and it was too poor to accumulate enough capital anytime soon for the massive industrialization necessary. So Mao Zedong, in his communist acolytes, decided to mobilize China's vast population. They would use labor-intensive means of industrialization that emphasized manpower, of which China had plenty. Yep, we all know why. Instead of machinery and industrial plants, of which China had little, thus was born the Great Leap Forward in 1958, a revolutionary campaign to rapidly transform China from an agrarian economy into an industrial giant. Unfortunately, Mao's understanding of economics turned out to be faulty, and his expectations would turn out to be wildly unrealistic.
Do you reckon he wants to be on this podcast? I feel this.
He might. Yeah.
My basic understanding of economics is pretty flawed. And yeah, my expectations would be wildly unrealistic. So it would seem.
Exactly. You'll do well. Sarah, we found your replacement. It's okay.
Awesome.
It's like a pyramid scheme. You have to get one in to get out. Yeah.
Can do. How's Danny going?
Nah, she's busy.
Oh, damn it.
She's got a Twitch. That's just as much work as a podcast. Yeah. So, yes.
Several anyway. Other people, it's fine.
You just keep laying them out and we'll keep shooting them down.
Yeah.
All right. A hallmark of the Great Leap Forward was Mao's brainstorm that increased steel production, which is a benchmark of industrialization, right? You make steel, all of a sudden your country's like, awesome.
But you had no raw resources to do that. So how?
Mao did not wait for the development of infrastructure such as steel plants or the training of a skilled workforce. Well, why would you wait for that
silly ladies. Instead, intrepid Chinese could produce steel by using blast furnaces in the back of their communes. Literal backyard furnaces. People used whatever fuel they could get their hands on to power these furnaces, from coal to wooden furniture to the wood of coffins. And when they lacked iron ore, they melted whatever steel objects they could find to produce steel girders.
Yeah, this is the reason why China still buys iron ore from us, because they don't have the natural resources to produce it themselves. So this is why I was a bit confused. Hang on a minute. How did they do this?
Yeah. So, making steel is complicated. Yeah. And the girders were produced, were low quality and cracked easily. Surprise. What came out of the backyard furnaces was actually not even steel, but pig iron, which had to get its carbon removed to become steel. Some regions where there was little metalworking tradition or understanding of metallurgy, even the pig iron produced was too useless to even get turned into steel.
Oh, no. So they just ruined all of the metal resources that they had by trying to melt shit down.
Yeah. And all the time and the effort and the people.
They were poor. Yep. They were farmers. Oh, my God.
Yep. All right. So the backyard furnace fiasco was not the worst part of the Great Leap Forward. However, right? Mao and his followers sought to revolutionize China's countryside, where most of the population toiled as peasants. So they prohibited private farming and ordered mandatory agricultural collectivization, combining communities' private plots into big fields belonging to the entire community.
He doesn't get how economy works, does he?
No, we know this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the theory was that economies of scale would come into play.
No.
And the big collectivized fields would prove more efficient and produce more than the small plots. However, poor planning led to poor implementation of collectivization, and the big fields ended up yielding less than private plots. Additionally, the Great Leap Forward emphasized ideological purity and fervor rather than competence. So collectivization ended up being led by enthusiastic and zealous overseers instead of a capable and competent managers. A series of natural disasters too, from 1959 to 1961, made things worse. Yep. The result was history's greatest man-made disaster. By 1960, it was obvious that the Great Leap Forward had been a bad decision. And by then it was too late. Yeah.
Oh, no.
The diversion of labor from farms to ill-advised industries such as backyard furnaces, plus the disruptions of collectivization, combined to produce a catastrophe. So between 1959 to 1962, about 30 million Chinese starved to death.
Oh, my God.
Some estimates going as high as 50 million.
Yeah, he was the one that told people to plant the seeds a meter in the ground.
Yes, that's right. I'm trying to remember this story. I'm just Googling it now.
The results were greater roots for a better harvest.
Yes. Yeah,
because he didn't really understand how seeds work.
Yeah.
He didn't understand how anything worked.
Yeah, it didn't work. He also told the nation to take up pots and pans to kill all the sparrows.
You're reading the same article I'm reading right now. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and that's right. It caused a plague of locusts.
Yes. Yeah, right. Which were the natural disasters. That was,
I don't like birds, but I like locusts less. So keep the birds, save me from the locusts. Birds,
they eat the locusts.
And I'll be putting the picture I put in a forest sheet in the blog of the backyard furnaces. It's insane they made steel in those things.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So
Can
I ask a question you may not know the answer to?
Sure.
That's my tagline in this podcast.
Definitely won't know the answer to.
So did they attempt to use the steel to build things? Like, was there serious accidents? Like, because I'm just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, buildings and shit just fell the fuck down, bridges, all sorts. They tried to use it for everything, basically. They're like, right, well, these people, well, we should build the houses for them to live in, you know, like, and they started trying to industrialize, like, sorry, make the cities bigger, you know, for the high rises and shit like
factories
that.
Factories and stuff like that.
And, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it just wasn't good enough. Like, yeah. As soon as you get any sort of high winds or, you know, like, I can't even think what China's weather's like, but yeah, it just, it didn't help hold up. Cracks, falls. It's super dangerous. Yeah.
Their weather is very similar to ours in the sense of they kind of got everything. They've got really cold areas. They've got really warm areas. They kind of got a mix of everything. So, oh God.
But yeah, no, they did try to build with the pig iron, which they turned into steel. But I wholeheartedly believe that they didn't even bother turning the pig iron that couldn't be turned into steel, throwing it away. They would have used it.
Oh, yeah. It looks fine. It'd be like us being told, okay, cut down that tree and build a house. How well do you think that's going to go, guys? I mean, we know the basic concepts, but do we know anything about it? Fuck no.
Oh, no. I've watched Log Cabin Masters or whatever the heck it is so many times. I've no idea. No. No.
My daughter asked me the other day if we could build a treehouse, and I just laughed at her. Like, I'd have any idea how to make that safe. No. No.
Yeah. You're better off giving her the wooden tools and going, yeah, have fun.
She would have a better concept, I feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, so a one great leap forward and 40,000 million steps backwards. Awesome. Well done. Yeah. Well done, Mal. Yeah. Well done.
Good one.
Please don't come and kill me. I know. I think he's still alive. Please don't come and kill me.
I don't know. Mao Zedong, is he still alive?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Don't come kill me. I'm just being funny.
He's probably got some ancestor that's Mao reincarnated or something like that. He'd be like, those Aussie women. And just come charging after us. And then the rest of Australia would be like, yeah, this gets me stopped the trade deal. And we'll be like,
No,
hey, sure, you believe that.
I accidentally put a curse on myself, and now the spirit of this man is in an emu and it keeps chasing me. That makes more sense, right?
Yes.
Like I said in my segment, even some of the craziest ideas could prove to be true later. Keep an open mind, people. Open mind.
Yeah. But that's all I had. So that was me done. That is us done. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
We've done so well tonight. We barely interrupted. Oh, some good banter. Go us. Pats on the back. Maybe a gold star. You can't see me, but I'm pinning things on myself. Okay. Yeah. Holding out my trophy. I mean, wine bottle.
Very good. Well, I've had so much fun researching this topic, as I did with all the other topics over the weeks. I say this because it's written there. However, some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic suggestion you would like us to talk about or a certain story you would like us to talk about, please contact us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com.
On the flip side, if you want us to debunk something Mythbusters style, we're all about that too.
I'd love that. Oh my god, it's so good. Oh my god, it's not real.
Sarah, it is also a you thing. Can I throw back to the Life Hacks episode where you debunked a few?
Yes.
So, it was an obvious thing.
That was just a common sense thing. But you can contact us about any form of subject or topic you would like us to do.
Yes.
We are available at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr.
Yeah.
Something else.
Another thing.
Contact us.
Mails,
pods, podcasts. I don't know. Any of them.
Anything.
Yep.
We are available. To everyone who has listened to this and has gotten this far, we would like to thank each and every one of you
is there anybody
for your time listening to our utter rubbish. We hope that you have found it entertaining and not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important life decisions.
Unless it's buying Netflix.
Unless it's buying Netflix or, you know, not building metal in your back garden.
Listen to your nerds, people. Listen to the people that know the things. Just listen to them.
You know, just don't invade countries that have a plague happening.
It does make sense, though.
Like, but please do buy a protection chainsaw because sooner or later you're going to need it.
You never know when the Scottish are going to try and invade, so.
Yeah.
Despite the pandemic, so.
Yeah. Good night.
Bye, y'all. Bye.